Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 2nd of July, recording at 8:53 p.m. And this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, let's have a quick review of the week. For stock markets, well, it's been rough for the second consecutive week. Although, there are some exceptions. The Asian emerging markets, China excepted, have been incredibly resilient, just backing off from their highs, their range highs, it should be said, a little bit. The Wall Street market and the European markets have steadied a little bit in the last couple of days. Now, that just tells us how oversold we are in the short term after 2 weeks on the downside, because the overall patterns are fairly diabolical still. Now, what about these long-dated government bonds? Well, they'd been running upwards virtually nonstop, but some profit-taking clearly setting in here today. The U.S. dollar, and that's turned around and remains weak. It's been weak most of the week. The gold price, so it was hammered down yesterday. We'd had those two key day reversals on Monday, downside key day reversals on Monday and the week before that, the previous Monday as well. It's steadier in here today. Down, it's up $12 to $12.11. Other precious metals have more or less followed suit. Industrial metals have been mostly weak, but are a little firmer here today. Let's see, crude oil, that is down a little bit further here today, 72.35. Sugar is strong here today. Okay. So what's going on overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, it's been quite a savage correction here overall. And unfortunately, there's no evidence that it's over. We have these toppy chart patterns. The best that can be said about the patterns I mentioned in the last couple of days is that many of these markets, not least Wall Street, on Wall Street, or many of these indices, are quite overextended on the downside on a short-term basis. However, that's not unusual in a downtrend. You fall persistently, and then you get oversold, and so things steady a little bit, but rallies fail beneath the resistance. There's a risk that that could still be the case in here. So there's little joy in the chart patterns overall, unfortunately. Now, what's bugging people? Well, obviously the earlier factors that I've mentioned in broadcasts, those triple waterfall factors, plus the China tightening policy. But those have faded a little bit into the background. They're not over in terms of, let's say, the Euroland and the southern European debt problems. But they're well known. They're right out there. And people can only worry about specific events for so long. But there is genuine concern being expressed here right now about the slowdown that they see, not least in the U.S. economy. Now, those concerns are justified, but how severe will the dip actually be? Well, probably not as severe as people are beginning to expect, but we don't know, do we? That's the bottom line. What we do know is that valuations in the stock market are improving quite a bit. They went from very low back in March of 2009 to, well, in China last July they were pricey, and they were certainly on the higher side of average back late last year, and as short a while ago as April, when the rally really did run into trouble. So the background, as I say, is one of improving valuations against a period, though, of weakening and global GDP growth, somewhat weakening global GDP growth, particularly in the West, once again. So that makes people nervous about the valuations. In other words, will corporate profits live up to the hopes that had been expressed earlier on? Well, some will and some won't. I don't mean to be flippant, but that's usually the way it works out. I suspect where they will be best is in Asia. And why are some of these Asian stock markets, such as Malaysia and the Philippines and Thailand and India, doing so well? Well, partly the improvement in valuations, but also because, you know, they seem quite far removed there in terms of economic influence from the problems of Southern Europe or even the United States. Now, here's the risk. If we get Wall Street going down another 10 or 20%, that's not a forecast, it's a hypothetical point I'm making here. But if we were to get Wall Street falling sharply once again, and unfortunately it has gone through that 1040 floor level, so it's still looking for a new low in here. If we get it going down that far, then I feel almost inevitably that these emerging markets that have held up so well, and those include South American, the smaller South American markets, would get dragged down. That might be in a bigger sell-off, that would probably be the last evidence of capitulation prior to an important bottom. Now, if we don't see markets going much lower, and I don't know, all I know at the moment is that these chart patterns are not good, and my feeling is that yes, there are economic concerns, there have been for a long time, but a lot of this is factored into the prices, and I like some of the valuations, despite concerns about the growth that are emerging. But I think we probably have seen enough to know that when markets do improve, the leaders are going to be the ones that are showing the relative strength in here right now. That also includes gold, interestingly. Let's stick with the stock markets here for a moment. So I think we have to psychologically be prepared to see some additional weakness in here. That would create even better valuations and a buying opportunity. But I expect to see my portfolio valuation pared down a bit more before that actually happens. Now, looking at the long-dated government bonds, these are overextended on the upside. They're certainly due for a reaction, which they're getting in here today. I'm talking about government bond prices. Where I would look for a downward correction, so some increase in the yields. I don't think these markets represent good value, and neither would anyone else on any historic measure, unless you're pretty well convinced that we're going to see Japan-style deflation. I don't think so. And my bigger concern is that over the long term, I think we will see inflationary pressures, not anytime soon, perhaps, although you may well see it in food prices. But not across the boards inflation problems. We still have the deflationary, disinflationary pressures at work. But the slow growth, not least in the United States, and the strong dollar will certainly encourage the Fed to keep printing money. I don't think there's too much doubt about that. And I think Japan is going to be printing a fair amount of money, although the wheels of change politically and economically in Japan seem to turn so slowly here these days. But so my feeling is on a long-term projection out there that we are going to see inflationary pressures, and I think that's part of the support behind the gold market, although that's a pretty good hedge when deflationary fears are high as well. Meanwhile, around the globe, we don't have disinflationary, deflationary pressures in Asia or in South America. We have really rather the opposite, which would be the inflationary pressures. They're not that serious that we should expect severe monetary tightening. But as a matter of fact, once the West has discounted its worst concerns and begins to study, I'm talking mainly Wall Street because that's the leash effect. As I've already said, I think that those fuller money themes are going to do extremely well. Now, one fuller money theme that's taking a bit of a beating in here is the U.S. multinationals in tech, which are vulnerable because of the dollar. The dollar is correcting here, but it was the previously cheap dollar that made them so attractive in terms of consolidated earnings. Tech remains very much a fuller money theme long term, but we don't want to be paying up for markets or running in too quickly when they've rolled over and formed top formations and are getting significant corrections. If tech comes back far enough, I'll certainly be interested in terms of my long-term investment portfolio. Another favorite sector over the long term, but it certainly had problems to cope with recently, are the miners. The Australian super tax thing was outrageous. The new prime minister has shown wisdom, I think, in rolling that back. I don't think she had much choice, but she didn't waste a lot of time doing so. And so I think that's far less of a problem, but nonetheless, it's knocked confidence, and people aren't going to go rushing back in necessarily because they are concerned about slower GDP growth. And they look at China's weak stock market and interpret that as an economic message. I think that's a mistake, incidentally. I think, as I've said, really since last July, that China's main problem is supply in the form of these IPOs, record IPOs coming on, and that is weighing on the market. At some point, I am assuming that China's leaders will realize that they would do better with a slightly firmer, slightly stronger, or considerably stronger stock market for further flotations. And all they have to do is remove the supply, and I think that market will start to go back up because it's not expensive, that's for sure. So, it's the same story. Good growth in the fuller money theme areas. Roller coaster markets. The West, I still find scary. And I'm not optimistic about growth in Europe. Who is? I don't think that's a contrary indicator yet, although Germany is certainly, and the northern European countries in general are doing far better than the southern European countries. I'm hopeful that the UK is taking the right measures to get its economy, get its debt under control, and to revive the private sector once again, but it'll all take time. Ditto in Ireland. So I'm not too interested in investing in any of the in any of the Western markets, although I do have that position in Shell, which I bought too soon the other day. Now, what about gold and the other precious metals? Well, my view is very much that they're in the perhaps in the middle stages of this secular bull market. I certainly don't think they're in the latter stages. All the arguments that we hear for gold, I think, still apply, but I've been saying for a while that this is a period of some seasonal softness. And also, like yesterday, when you see stock markets weak, that can easily hit the precious metal markets, as we saw with a vengeance back in 2008. But gold still fell less than most other assets, fell less than stock markets and other commodities. And it recovered more quickly and went further in that recovery. So I think that's still the case, and I think that the dollar has really peaked, even if stock markets go lower before they go higher, which is at least an even money bet. I think gold in US dollars is not going to go down significantly, and we will get another leg to the upside, but that may not start until we get into the late in the third quarter or in the some point in the fourth quarter of this year. It's not a bad time to be cautious in here, in my view. Markets are choppy. That makes trading more difficult. Markets are actually more interesting right now for long-term investors because of the improvement in valuations. And something that's a bit of a personal mantra that I always say is don't allow yourself to be panicked out of markets when other people are panicking. The when fear is greatest, that's the time to be buying. And when there's euphoria, that's the time to be taking some profits. Now, we've all read that. We pretty well know that to be true. It's just hard to do, isn't it? US dollar. I think I pretty well covered that. I think the US is going to print enough money to weaken it. I think the US is not happy to see the dollar become a haven. The Japanese are certainly not happy to see the yen become a haven. The strength of the yen has really killed my interest in the Japanese stock market for the time being. And what else to mention? Commodity markets. Sugar looks like a recovery. Lumber looks like a recovery. Coffee's rampant. The industrial metals, they're fairly cheap, but I don't yet see the case for running in this overall environment. It is a good time, I think, just to keep one's head down. Get some exercise, look at the charts, read the reports, plan additional strategies. You and I can only deal with what the markets provide, and this is a time to take fewer risks rather than more. Enjoy the sport, enjoy the good weather, enjoy the family, and enjoy your weekend. All the best.